So this afternoon we'll be looking at association of intimate partner violence with late entry into prenatal care, and we'll be looking at Maryland births between 2004 and 2008. I have no disclosures to make. By way of introduction, intimate partner violence continues to be a public health issue of immense significance all over the world. The prevalence of experience of physical abuse in pregnancy is estimated to be between 4 and 8% globally. Unfortunately, many abused women do not get the help they need because they do not even get screened for intimate partner violence. Maternal infant and child health is one of the 42 topic areas in Healthy People 2020, a program designed to guide national health promotion and disease prevention efforts in order to improve the health of all people in the United States. And one of the targets for Healthy People 2020 is to increase the proportion of pregnant women who receive early and adequate prenatal care by 10%. I think their final report was to be launched sometime during this conference. However, intimate partner violence may prevent use of preventive and comprehensive health services, and many abused women may delay going for prenatal care for a variety of reasons, possibly because they have a controlling partner who does not allow them to get prenatal care, or because they have obvious signs of physical abuse which they do not want to be discovered. Intimate partner violence has been associated with poor pregnancy outcomes, such as low birth weight and preterm labor. The specific objectives of this presentation and this paper are to determine the proportion of women who started prenatal care after the first trimester, to estimate the proportion of women who reported that they had been physically abused by either a current or former intimate partner in the 12-month period preceding the survey, preceding their pregnancy or during their last pregnancy. And thirdly, to determine the relationship between intimate partner violence before or during pregnancy and late entry into prenatal care. The methods. For those who are not familiar with the PRAMS data set, PRAMS stands for Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System, and it was established by the Centers for Disease Control in 1987 in order to be able to collect information on maternal behaviors and experiences that could be associated with adverse pregnancy outcomes. Currently, there are projects in about 37 states, including and New York City, and just recently, in the last 3 weeks or so, they've added three new states, Connecticut, New Hampshire, and Iowa. And the data from the PRAMS data set represents up to 75% of U.S. births. For this particular analysis, data were obtained from the state of Maryland, and there were over 8,000 mothers who delivered infants between 2004 and 2008, and who completed the PRAMS mail-in postpartum survey either in English or Spanish. Usually they get three different mailings, and if they don't respond to any of the three, then they get a follow-up telephone interview. Eligible women were selected from Maryland's live birth certificate files, and the stratification was such that women who were older than 35 years or 35 years of age and who had low birth weight infants less than 2,500 grams were oversampled. Data analysis was done with SAS, and multivariate logistic analysis was done. The data were weighted and variances were adjusted for the design effect using the Taylor linearization method. For the purpose of this analysis, intimate partner violence was defined as having been physically hurt by a current or an ex-partner in the 12 months preceding or during the most recent pregnancy. And these women were actually surveyed 2 to 6 months after pregnancy, so I'd like you to keep that in mind. And late entry into prenatal care was defined as first having a first prenatal visit after 13 weeks of gestation. The results. The response rate was 70 to 73% for each of the 5 years that were included in this analysis. That's 2004 to 2008. And 23% of women started prenatal care after the first trimester, that's after 13 weeks of gestation. Of the women who were trying to get pregnant, 54.3% presented early, and the timing of prenatal care was as early as desired for 80% of the women, not early enough for 20%. Regarding exposure to physical intimate partner violence in the 12-month period preceding the pregnancy, 5.9% of women responded that they had been abused by a current or former partner. It appears that this reduced during pregnancy because only 4.3% responded that they had been abused by a current or former partner during the last pregnancy. Of the 7.4%, so we combined these two together because of the relatively rare nature of intimate partner violence, and many other studies had combined them together as well, combining women who had been abused either in the 12-month period before pregnancy or the 9 months of pregnancy. So that came to a total of 7.4% of women who reported intimate partner violence. 36% of these presented late into prenatal care, compared with 23% of all women who presented late. The highest percentages of women who reported intimate partner violence were non-Hispanic Black. They were less than 25 years of age and uninsured. This table shows the distribution of women by abuse status, and comparing women who were physically abused to those who were not physically abused, we found a higher proportion of women who were physically abused presented late to prenatal care, 36%. A higher proportion of women who were abused were less than 25 years of age, and a higher proportion of women who were abused were non-Hispanic Black. Again, a higher proportion of women who reported abuse, abuse here refers to abuse in the 12-month period preceding the pregnancy or during the pregnancy. They had lower education, and a higher proportion of them were not currently married, and a higher proportion of them did not have insurance. And this excludes Medicaid, but the same or similar pattern was shown if you look at just Medicaid. Table 2 shows factors associated with late entry into prenatal care. And if you look at the figures here, you find that late entry into prenatal care was associated with having reported physical intimate partner violence either during that pregnancy or in the 12-month period preceding the pregnancy. It was also associated with being less than 25 years of age. This is with bivariate analysis. And lower education, and all of these were statistically significant. It was associated with being not currently married, so that includes those who were single or divorced or separated. And late entry into prenatal care was also associated with being of other race, which is mostly Asian and Hispanic. Again, all of these were statistically significant, as was having no insurance, and again, this excludes Medicaid, but the pattern was similar for those who had Medicaid versus those who did not. Odds of late entry into prenatal care. So we were really interested in whether or not physical intimate partner violence in the 12-month period preceding the pregnancy as well as during pregnancy would independently predict late entry into prenatal care. But after adjusting for age, race, and insurance, we found that the relationship was no longer statistically significant. However, age was still strongly associated with late entry into prenatal care, but the pattern flipped. Even after we introduced interaction terms were not statistically significant, and that's why we did not present the results separately by different age groups. Race as well, women who were Black compared, well, non-Hispanic Black compared with white, and women who were of other race, that's Asian or Hispanic, compared with white, were twice as likely to enter prenatal care late. That's after the first trimester. Insurance status was also statistically significantly related with late entry into prenatal care. And so the odds was 4 times higher for women who did not have insurance to enter prenatal care late compared with women who did have insurance. The proportion of women in Maryland who reported experience of physical abuse in the year before or during pregnancy was similar to those in other states. There was a study conducted by Salzman et al. Who looked at PRAMS data set as well, but they used 16 different states, and they found that 8.7% of women reported intimate partner violence either before or during pregnancy. But just like in our analysis, they found that the proportion of women who reported intimate partner violence during pregnancy was less than the proportion who reported intimate partner violence in the 12-month period preceding pregnancy, which suggests that the prevalence of intimate partner violence may have reduced after the woman became pregnant or after her spouse found out that she was pregnant. Our findings regarding the socio-demographic factors associated with late entry into prenatal care are also similar to those of Dietz et al. Like I mentioned before, after we adjusted for age, race, and insurance status, intimate partner violence was no longer independently associated with late entry into prenatal care. There was a study conducted among women in India by Koski et al., and they found that intimate partner violence was independently associated with late entry into prenatal care. They were comparing women who entered in the third trimester to women who entered in the first trimester, and the relationship remained statistically significant. So it's possible that the differences in the findings are because of the differences in the methodology. They use multinomial regression while we use logistic regression. It could be because of the differences in the context. Definitely women in India would be different from women in the US, and the social norms that surround, the social norms or the way in which intimate partner violence is accepted or otherwise differs in the two settings. They also had a much higher prevalence of intimate partner violence, and the socio-demographic characteristics of the women in their study was quite different from the women in the US study. It's possible that intimate partner violence is just one of several factors that influence late entry into prenatal care, and because this is a secondary data analysis, it's possible that there are other factors that we could have addressed that may have accounted for the fact that after we introduced insurance into the model, women who were abused were no longer more likely to come late for prenatal care compared with women who were not abused. The analysis definitely has some limitations. PRAMS data excludes all pregnancies that do not end in a live birth, and this is important when you think about the generalizability of the findings. Because if the pregnancy did not end in a live birth, there wouldn't be a birth certificate. And since the women are selected based on the birth certificates, it excludes a certain group of women. Again, this is a cross-sectional analysis, and because of that, we cannot address temporality. I mentioned earlier that the surveys were posted to these women 2 to 6 months after delivery, and so there's the possibility that there was some recall bias involved. It's also possible, because intimate partner violence may be regarded as a sensitive topic, that there may be underreporting and we may have underestimated the true prevalence. Again, because it's secondary data analysis, it's possible that there's some unmeasured or residual confounding which we could not account for because we do not have those variables at our disposal. Despite the limitations, there are strengths to this analysis. PRAMS data are linked to birth certificate data, and this allows the survey data to be reflective of the entire U.S. population because of the weighting. Instead of over 8,000 women, we're actually able to think about this analysis in terms of over 300,000 women. after waiting, and it's generalizable only to women who delivered a live-born infant in the given years. But this is a strength in the sense that this is a large proportion of women. We know that most deliveries do end in a live birth, but I've already mentioned the limitation in this regard. It's a very large sample size, and being able to combine the 5 years also helps to make it even larger, especially because intimate partner violence is relatively a rare outcome. Why should we care? A Pram's mother said, "It's sometimes a good idea to ask about an abusive situation if you see bruises on your patients. People are quicker to admit to things rather than bring it up and start a conversation about themselves." And if you think about what this mother said, I think that the analysis has implications for clinical practice. And so even though the large professional bodies, the American Medical Association, the Pediatrics and the ONG associations have all suggested that, have all endorsed that women should be screened for intimate partner violence, this often does not get done. And because of this, it's important that women who need care actually receive care. But if you think about it, if intimate partner violence is preventing women from entering prenatal care at all, or it's making them enter late, then it's important to adjust clinical practice in such a way that women would be screened for intimate partner violence at every contact with the healthcare system so that they can receive care as early as possible and support. More research is definitely important because, like I said, we were not able to find a significant association. Intimate partner violence did not independently predict late entry into prenatal care after accounting for age and insurance. So in conclusion, intimate partner violence may be associated with delayed entry into prenatal care, but other factors associated with intimate partner violence, such as the lack of insurance coverage, also contribute. And further studies are necessary to better elucidate the complex relationship of intimate partner violence with prenatal care initiation. Thank you.